Namaste. So people often, they speak about what's happening all around and they speak of confusion. There is confusion. Confusion is incidentally part of life, but we live in it and we call it order. So there are times when there is a big giant broom which sweeps a house which has not been cleaned for a long time. So a lot of dust arises. And you say, oh, this is so confusing. So this confusion comes to take us towards a greater harmony. But during that period, so when we are assailed with this vision of confusion, the mother has given us a very simple remedy. When you can't understand anything, what is happening? Virus, vaccine, pandemic, new predictions, doomsday. Everything is happening individually, collectively. One can't understand anything. She says the perfect remedy is to just concentrate and take it that all is the divine. That's the only way. She says all the rest is phantasmagoria. All analysis, calculation. That time, nothing. Surrender. You see, there is a very interesting story in... We are talking about that Astri, it reminds me. In Mahabharata. So Ashwatthama is a crazy boy. You know, he's like a brash teenager whose father's love has spoiled him. So he has been given weapons he never deserved. Every weapon he has misused. Brahmastra uses to destroy a baby in the womb. Imagine. Then he also has Narayani Astra. Father, after all, you know, attachment, what attachment can do. Dronacharya's life is really a life where attachment led to the perdition. So he uses an astra weapon which is called as Narayani Astra. What is Narayana Astra? Narayana Astra is the weapon that Lord Vishnu has created out of himself. So what this weapon can do, two things are there about this weapon. One is, with passage of time, it keeps on increasing the intensity of missiles, tens of thousands of missiles. And the other part is, if you resist, then the number increases many more. So you try to resist it, it will start automatically putting more and more pressure till you will succumb. So the cure for that astra is, when somebody fires that salvo, don't resist. Just surrender with nothing. Lord, let it pass over. It's a storm, let it pass over. And it will pass over, it will slow down. So the other part was, if you learn to surrender, it slows down. That was the other aspect of the weapon. So symbolic it is. You know, sometimes the more we fight a tendency, it becomes very, very strong. You want to fight a tendency within which is you feel is not right. You see, it will keep on increasing more and more. And till you get exhausted completely. At the end, you will do the same thing. Lord, take it. It's surrender, isn't it? So as the story goes, when Ashwatthama fires the salvo, Shri Krishna knows, Arjuna knows that you can't fight it. So Shri Krishna tells the whole army, surrender, surrender, surrender. No, army doesn't know surrender. And in the army, when there is a man like Bhima, so Bhima says, so everybody, Krishna is saying surrender. So many people do lie down. But there are others who stand in the line, try to, they are all killed. But Bhima says, no, I can't be a coward. I prefer to die than, you know, I'll fight it. So the more he tries to fight with his mace, the more the intensity, till the entire Narayana Astra gets concentrated on Bhima and is about to annihilate him. Then Krishna and Arjuna forcibly catch him and drag him, put him on the ground. And that's when it stops and goes away. So there are moments when we have to understand it. That's a storm which is blowing. Know that, like all storms, will pass away. And it will raise a lot of dust. You can't see anything at that point of time. The more you try to see what will happen, your vision will get clouded. Because it's dust all over. And the more your vision will get clouded, you will misread. You will missee, apart from being in suffering. So, the dictum is, at that point of time, offer surrender. And then the true understanding will come. So there is an aphorism of Sri Aurobindo, very interesting aphorism. The saint and the angel are not the only divinities. Admire also the titan and the giant. The old writings call the titans the elder gods. So they still are. And now what he says is something very amazing. Nor is any god entirely divine unless there is hidden in him also a titan. So you see, when whose weapon is Narayanastra? Vishnu Bhagwan's. There is a side which is hidden inside. So mother is asked this question. Now I would like to know what is the key to cure without suppression. Everybody has a little titan sitting inside. But usually, how does this titan manifest himself? We see it in everybody around. This fellow is neatly hidden inside. Huh? He is popping up in here, there. Even when it's not there, you are seeing. Precisely because the light is usually thrown and then the wrong movement is driven underground. So what happens when light is thrown? So this is what happens with all the moralist people, no? So they just throw it down. So she says, yes, that is a general rule. The opposite is to be done. Instead of driving it underground, it is to be offered. Driving it underground, I don't have. I am a very good guy. All the problems are in you, everybody. I am a devotee, a sadhak. See, don't you see my veshabhusha and everything? See, I am such a holy person. Huh? I don't watch movies. I don't go to restaurant. I am a sadhu bachcha. Lord will say, achcha. You are sadhu bachcha. I'll show you what sadhu bachcha is. If he takes you seriously, if he doesn't take you seriously, he says, okay, live in illusion and let others live in illusion. But if he takes you seriously, he'll show you what a sadhu bachcha you are. So she says, don't do that. It is to place the thing, the movement itself, to project it into the light. Means you have to see what it is without coloring it, without putting all the paint around it. Generally, it wriggles and refuses. But that is the only way. So you see, don't try catching a serpent, but I am giving an example. Slippery creatures. Before you can realize, they just slip away. Even when they don't have all this, you know, the people who play with it say, hold it in the hand. So you think it is so cool. It's so slippery. Before you realize, it jumped somewhere and, you know, reptile. So you just wonder. But it's good to get rid of all fear. Okay, that's a different story. Don't try this way. Huh? And don't try with poisonous serpents. Huh? Certainly not. And who knows? The serpent doesn't know it is poisonous or non-poisonous. So don't try ever. You know, how they were born. It's a very fascinating tale. We'll talk about it some other time. Well, what brings about the suppression is the idea of good and bad. A kind of contempt or shame for what is considered bad. And you do like this gesture of repulsion. Oof. What kind of a creature? Pehla patthar wo mare jisne paap na kiya. So that's why when you asked me, what shall I do? I said, I have the same problem. Everybody who is emotional, they are soft natured. So it's not that somebody is like this and other person. So you have to see and acknowledge within yourself things. It's not about good or bad, it's nature. It doesn't mean we have to accept it just as it is. We have to see it and offer it. You do not want to see it. You do not want it to be there. It must, the very first thing to realize it, that it is the weakness or consciousness that makes this division. What is it she's saying? Weakness of consciousness makes this division. Good, bad, right, wrong. Because it can't handle. This division, and that there is a consciousness in which that does not exist, in which what we call evil is as much necessary as what we call good, and that if we can project our sensation, but it changes itself in that unity. And if we project our sensation or our activity or perception into that light, that will bring the cure. Instead of suppressing or rejecting it as something to be destroyed. And then she says it cannot be destroyed. You can transform it. See, this is the basic law of life. You can change it from one form of energy to another. Gross matter is energy completely involved within it. Burn it up, it gives you fuel. But there are other forms, subtler and subtler. So you can change from one form to another. You cannot destroy anything. It has to be projected into the light. They do not want to be offered, but there is a way of compelling them. The resistance is diminished in the proportion as we can diminish in us our sense of disapprobation. If we can replace this sense of disapprobation by higher understanding, then we succeed. All the movements that drag you down must be put in contact with the higher understanding. So disapprobation is, oh, this is so bad, horrible. So that's why and then she says, the best one can do is not to take sides, not to have preconceived ideas or principles. Oh, the moral principles, the set rules of conduct, what one must do and what one must not, and the preconceived ideas from the moral point of view, from the point of view of progress. All the social and mental conventions. No worse obstacle than that. She's not asking us to be immoral. She's not asking us to be amoral. She's asking us to see the things without labeling them. And to purify them, to offer them so that they regain their original form. Because every movement is derived ultimately from the divine origin. It may be completely distorted. What is desire? It's a complete distortion of consciousness force in its origin. Keep on purifying it, it will reach that point. There are people, I know people who have lost decades in surmounting one such mental construction. If one can be like that, open, truly open in a simplicity, well, the simplicity that knows that it is ignorant, ready to receive whatever comes, then something can happen. And naturally, the thirst for progress, that's important. She's again not telling us that, okay, fine, there is no moral, so indulge. No, she's asking us something much greater. The thirst for progress, the thirst for knowledge, the thirst for transformation. And above all, the thirst for love and truth. If one keeps that, one goes quicker. Truly a thirst, a need. In everything there is truth. In everything there is love. That's why one should not discard it. Because it contains at its core truth and love. To dig and try to bring that out. All the rest has no importance. It is that one has need of. To cling to something one believes that one knows. To cling to something that one feels, to cling to something that one loves, to cling to one's habits, to cling to one's so-called needs, to cling to the world as it is that which binds you. You must undo all that. So what should you cling to? So there are people who cling to their way of seeing, their way of feeling, their habit of progress. And Mother wants us to be no more bonds. Free, always ready to change everything, except one thing, to aspire, the thirst. And in the end she says, what thou willest, as thou willest. Indeed, to have a concrete sensation that this body does not exist, it's only used, there is only that. This is the only solution. There is no other. All the rest, it is aspirations, conceptions, expectations. It is still the Superman. It is not the supramental. It is a higher humanity which tries to draw the whole of its humanity upward. But that is of no use, of no use. The picture is very clear of this whole humanity which clings in order to climb, which seeks to hold like that, but which does not give itself. It wants to take, and that will not do. It must do away with itself, then the thing will be able to come and take its place. The whole secret is there. So one has to just learn to give oneself to the divine unreservedly, unconditionally, what we call as good, because good is also not the final good. Huh? We think, oh, I am very honest, I am a taxpayer, I am a good guy. Who knows? I am a very outwardly this kind of sadhu bachcha. Who knows? The divine may say, you are too boring a creature. So what we call as good is also a limited good. And what we call as bad is, of course, it's a limited bad. But in every bad, what we call as bad, evil, there is a possibility of good hidden. That's why that original aphorism, that there is a little bit of titan. There is that possibility. It's force. That's why it is existing. Otherwise, it will not exist. And in every good, there is the seed of evil which is waiting. You think all good, good will bring good. And suddenly you will see its effects are something else. Very contrary to what you expected. So to rise beyond it, not to cling to appearances, outer, this, that. Yes, they will come in life. Perfectly fine. That's what life is. Success will come, failure will come, people will come. Everything will come. But to cling only to the thirst for progress, the need for progress, and to give oneself to the divine with this gesture, what thou willest. So, while we go through the journey of life, especially when there are periods of confusion, even otherwise, this is the way. But especially when there are periods of confusion, don't try to, you know, force yourself into a preconceived idea. We don't know how the divine helps humanity to progress. Sometimes he uses evil to bring out the best good. And sometimes what we think is very good turns out to be supremely evil. So we have to just learn to surrender, aspire, and above all, what thou willest, what thou willest. Last bit. For example, all this side of humanity that wants to take things by force and pulls them up there. It is interesting, but it is not that. It is not that. All these possibilities must be exhausted so that something in humanity is able to understand that there is only that, and then to let oneself lie prostrate till one disappears. Till then one tries. Okay, divine says try. But at the end, it doesn't matter who has shot the Narayani Astra. It's irrelevant. It's side of the evil army. But now we come back to this story. What is the meaning of this story? It's very simple, very beautiful. One is, of course, the Narayani Astra and the surrender. But the meaning is very simple. You know, Narayani Astra is used much later in the battle. I think 17th day or 18th one last. Now, Pandavas are on the verge of victory. But before you have the victory, you have to learn the great lesson of humility and surrender. If you believe you are the powerful guy and are the victor, you are going to have it. So what does the divine do? His own Astra, it's Krishna's Astra, and it's, if you look at it like that, is fired from the enemy camp, from the enemy's bow, and he prepares you for the ultimate victory. So when we look at life like that, you know, what a confusion it must have created. Where is this guy? Okay, he's a great warrior, but he is not among the best warriors. Suddenly he fires a salvo, nobody knows what to do with it. Hey, kaun sa virus aa gaya, you know, all around. Suddenly. And then that time, everybody is taught the lesson of humility and the surrender. It is a very big lesson for the ego. And when they do it, then you are ready for the great victory. So she says, gesture of self-effacement, and then to let oneself lie prostrate till one disappears. Indeed, that is the most difficult thing. So what is the most difficult thing is not doing sadhana, meditation, and pulling the consciousness up to the forehead. What is the most difficult thing? She is saying, indeed, that is the most difficult thing, to learn to disappear. Namaste.